From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump has officially withdrawn the U.S. from the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, Pacific Rim Free Trade Agreement, calling it a good thing for the American worker. A White House spokesman said bilateral agreements are preferable. Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said the remaining TPP members should forge ahead with new partners, perhaps China.
There is no other leader, in the TPP that is not seeking to ensure we maintain this momentum to free trade.
Meanwhile, Mexico and Canada are considering bilateral pacts, given the Trump administration's demand to renegotiate or withdraw from the 23-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Gary Huffbauer is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
I think NAFTA will become two bilateral agreements rather than this trilateral accord that it now is. And then there might be a third bilateral between Mexico and Canada. And also Trump has welcomed a possible bilateral with the United Kingdom. So, of course, United Kingdom has to sort out its relations with Europe first.
British Prime Minister Theresa May to meet President Trump at the White House Friday. Gambia's new president, Adama Barrow, Monday announced his vice president, Fatoumata Tambangjung, who was instrumental in organizing the opposition to longtime ruler Yahya Jammeh. Mr. Barrow remains in Senegal, his return to Gambia uncertain. His spokesman, Khalifa Saleh, indicated it could be Tuesday.
Consideration basically is where he's going to reside and where he's going to carry out his duties.
Jammeh, who refused to accept defeat following the December election, left the country late Saturday, is reportedly in Equatorial Guinea. ECOWAS troops who intervened continue their presence in Gambia. This is VOA News. Syrian talks continue in the Kazakh capital Astana Tuesday after a first day of indirect negotiations between the government and opposition failed to reach agreement. The negotiations center on cementing a nationwide ceasefire. Opposition official Issam El-Rice said the talks could result in future political negotiations, and that could be trouble for President Bashar al-Assad.
If this discussion success, that means there is a real cessation of hostility on the ground, a real ceasefire, the weather will be ready for a transition or a political discussions, which the Assad knows, at that point he'll be out of power.
A joint communique being drafted reportedly commits Russia, Turkey, and Iran to fight Islamic State and Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, formerly Nusra Front. They would also set up a mechanism to monitor the ceasefire. Britain's Supreme Court has ruled that Prime Minister Theresa May give Parliament a vote before formally starting Britain's exit from the European Union. The court said she may not use executive powers, known as royal prerogative, to invoke Article 50 of the EU's Lisbon Treaty to begin the two-year process. But the justices did rule the Prime Minister does not need the approval of the United Kingdom's devolved assemblies in Scotland, Wales, and Northern Ireland. Opposition street protests returned to Venezuela Monday, demonstrators demanding new elections aimed at forcing socialist President Nicolas Maduro from power. Protester Maria Hernandez said she's tired of food shortages, crime, and a diminished quality of life. The country's economic crisis has deepened with food and medical shortages, rampant inflation, riots, and looting. The Prime Minister of the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius officially handed over his duties to his son. 86-year-old Prime Minister Anirudh Jugnauth handed power to his 55-year-old son Pravin, the finance minister. The transition was made without an election, prompting the opposition to threaten protests. Turkey's President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, in the midst of an African trip, called on his Tanzanian hosts Monday to take action against the network of exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen. Gulen's Hizmet movement linked to a network of schools worldwide. President Trump Monday signed a decree barring U.S. federal funds for foreign NGOs to pay for abortions. White House spokesman Sean Spicer said the action reflects Mr. Trump's defense of the unborn.
The reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well.
The abortion funding ban was first imposed by former President Ronald Reagan in 1984, lifted by former President Clinton, reinstated by former President George W. Bush, lifted again by former President Obama. A severe weather system moved up the eastern U.S. coast Monday after leaving a trail of destruction in the nation's southeast that killed at least 20 people. High winds, heavy rain, snow, and flash flooding were reported as the weather system moved north off the U.S. coast. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.